You know, I think when we're really rolling, we're stringing together successful drafts, and then you're re-signing those guys. It comes down to adding playmakers all over the field, including on defense. And we got to get better on third downs. We got to improve our pass rush. We got to get better ball skills. And I think that comes down to just adding playmakers on defense.
It's the future!
Down and Distance
on WGNRadio.com.
I'm sitting here, and I've got the dawn, and I've got the sun.
Okay.
So, Friday will be 1 year from the hiring of Ryan Pace. You guys were there.
Mm-hmm.
You see this young man walk in. At that moment when he's talking to you at Hallis Hall and he's introduced as the general manager of the Chicago Bears, did you think in 1 year he would get as much right as a general manager as he has?
I don't think I knew. I don't think I had a really, because, you know, this is somebody who's not high pro, wasn't a GM from somewhere else. He certainly came with good credentials with having been part of building the Saints, but until the guy sits in that seat and he's the guy who's kind of finally going to make the final decision. The one thing I did like about the hire, and not that this isn't poking at Phil Emery, but in general, I think the better personnel, the better GMs, I know this is across the board, come from the pro personnel side, which is what Ryan really was, because they know what an NFL player really looks like.
That's what I love.
So I like that, as opposed to, like, Phil was a scout. Again, not picking on him, but you come from the college. You know what a really good college guy looks like, and you kind of rely on your pro personnel guys. But I think they got – I felt like from the beginning this guy may really have a sense, because he'd already scouted the Bears because one of the Saints played him. He knew the Bears personnel from having scouted them. That's what I kind of want in that chair. But you don't know until he starts picking. And you, like you say, Eddie Goldman, you don't even know until camp starts when the pads come on. What do they really get with Hieronis Grassou or Eddie Goldman until they start hitting? So they start playing, how good is he? And I think he kind of answers some of those questions.
It's amazing.
Hold on. I got to tell you this. I didn't know. I was excited because I thought, you know, talking to people who knew him, everybody said, man, this up and coming, this is going to, he's going to be great. You know, youngster got a young mind of what he likes to do. I think this is going to be great for Chicago. First time I heard him speak, there was something I really, really liked. I liked the way that he talked football. I liked the way that he expressed himself. And this was without him really doing anything. I'm like, whoa, this is great. What really jumped off to me was this entire season. And I told you guys this. I have to go back to the Suge Knight, you know, was it Rap Awards when he came on there, onto the stage, Sean, and he said, you know, talking about Puffy, if you don't want Your producer. Well,
all
he
in
would
the
switch
video.
It. Yeah, if you don't want your GM all in the videos and, you know, come to the Bears.
Right.
That's what he did. He wasn't out and about. He was doing his work. He was behind the scenes. He's doing what he does best. And we saw him basically almost like two times, really, about really talking about the Kevin White stuff. And then at the end of the season, at the end of the presser, and you saw that he's been doing what he's doing best. And Moon, you said it, he knows what a football player is supposed to look like, and he does his homework, and I respect him for that. And I've always felt good about the situation and what's going on with, I like this first draft. I'm so ready to see what happens in this second draft, because this is where you really, this is now you have an understanding about someone a little bit more. Now you start to see, as you see how this team and what they need, and then we'll see the decisions he makes. We'll go.
You stack drafts.
Yeah,
and then you're what's called the Green Bay Packers. You know, that's how you get. If he comes back and hits on four of his first five again, ooh, now you got something. And I think that's, you know, with him. And, you know, you mentioned something, Jared, that I really liked about Pace. He came in without acting like he knew it all. He is the trigger man on a lot of the decisions. But, and we'll get some Greek philosophy in here. A great saying of Socrates, the surest way to lose truth is to believe that one already wholly possesses it. It means when you start thinking when you think you know it all, that's your first step toward being stupid. And if you walk in here thinking, oh, I got this, you know, I'm 37 years old, hey, I'm big, I'm good. Yeah. He didn't come in here with that attitude. I think he has a quiet confidence, but I think that's what he brings to the organization. The other thing, you know, he's a former DN at Eastern Illinois, so I like his chances of finding a pass rusher out there somewhere. He knows what they should look like, too.
Yeah, it's there's there's something about him that I really, really like. And, you know, I've only spent a little bit of time with him at training camp and talking with him. And he just seems like he loves being at work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always
likes the game.
It seems, yeah, he loves the game, and he's always working.
He reminds me very much of a Theo or of a Stan Bowman. And when I say that, you're talking about general managers, guys that are in control, very confident, and even when everything seems like it's a little discombobulated, they're very sure of the direction of the team, the organization, and what confident in what they're doing.
Right.
To get everything right, and they allow their coaches to coach.
Yeah, he didn't meddle. I think that was one of the drawbacks with Phil.
Yeah.
There was too much, there were too many personnel decisions that were coming from that side of the of Halas Hall as opposed to just the coaches. And, you know, that ultimately boomerangs. But, you know, it'd be interesting how they've got now some needs to fill. They need to get playmakers. It's going to start with,
Is there to build.
Yeah, I think it really is. I mean, again, we can make fun of a 6-10 record, but. Yeah, I think Pace is the whole thing. He said, "I learned there are two rules in building a team. One is get pass rushers, and the second rule is get more pass rushers."
Yeah.
So I think he has an idea how to do that, or what his template and what was the first thing he went out and did was get Pernell McPhee.
Yeah.
And who's a difference maker when he's on the
totally,
football field?
Totally, totally different. I think he'll get his knee fixed.
He wasn't healthy at the end of the year.
Well, I know, and I think in the up through those first 8 to 10 games before the knee really started slowing. Started to look like Butkus out there, didn't he? Kind of dragging one leg a little bit. But think about that. That was when they couldn't quite get over the hump to get to the 500, but they were right there. They were sniffing some really good things. And I think Pernell is probably going to play. Maybe he's going to play a little lighter than 280. I think he'll make him faster. But the knee. So they pick up a pass rusher. They get an inside linebacker playing a stud behind Eddie Goldman. It doesn't take a lot. That makes everybody better. You get a pass rusher, you now made your corners and safeties better.
I wonder if the Texans watching Bears film this week. That was the last team to beat the Chiefs, so I'm just saying.
There's a thought. You're just saying.
who would have thought,
who would have ever thought?
That's another playoff team. The Bears, they took it too. They beat the Packers. They beat the Chiefs. Yeah. You're talking about, are they close? Yeah, they beat the, then they could have beaten them.
I don't know, man. Jamal Charles stays in that game, man.
Probably turns out different.
Yeah, but still, they won that game.
Did Eddie get hurt in that game? Rattling for somebody. They lost somebody early.
Someone was hurt.
D. Lineman or two went out early in that game,
man, dude, you just, I totally, how did we not talk about that? Jeremiah Ratliff, man. I mean, here and gone.
Well, there's the thing, like I said,
I think was handled the right way.
Hey.
Not everybody thinks that, but I frankly, I mean,
I do.
There was the first domino may have been, they thought he was whatever, not all together there, but, and that's, people were critical of Ryan Pace for not being out front on that. But, Fox was the face of the franchise. And if the worst thing you did is if that's your worst PR mistake, come on, it's a PR mistake.
Right.
It's not a structural mistake. What they did with Ray McDonald, I mean, looking big picture at the year, it was zero tolerance, would take a chance on this guy. He didn't do it, and then they got rid of him. It was easy to, after the fact, but if Ray McDonald had stayed straight, for example, and again, we're dealing with hypotheticals, he would have been the greatest hire of ever. Yeah. So, I give the guy a chance for rolling the dice.
You have to roll the dice, right? I mean, in the game of football, that's what it's about. Everybody, let's be honest here.
It's a lot of bad apples and a lot of locker rooms around the NFL.
There's a lot. But if you can get a difference maker at a position, especially at a big-time position, everybody's going to take a gamble. I mean, everybody criticizes Jerry Jones for what he does and the gambles he takes. But in the game of football, it's about what Ryan Pace was talking about. It's playmakers and difference makers.
What was the biggest point or the biggest thing that stood out with both of you guys from the Ryan Pace, John Fox press conference the other day?
I'll tell you, I know right off the bat.
Go ahead.
One thing that I'm not used to hearing over the last couple of years was talking about just the comments of if there's in that first round, take the best available.
Bingo. That was mine.
The best available. So you're not that means you're not counting out anybody and who's best available on the board at that time you take. To me, that's huge. You're talking about 11th, where you're going to get a pretty, really, really good football player.
The 11th to the 18th slot in drafts.
You can get great
love there. That what, slot.
The Bears have picked, if I'm the, I read this, 10 times they've been there at 11th, and they've got, what, Keith Van Horn there and also Wilbur Marshall there. So those are.
Why does it seem like the teams are better for teams that maybe because teams in those spots are not reaching for a particular position and are in a position to take the best guy that's on the board?
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. Again, people may think, you know, as you're hearing this, that everybody says we're going to take the best player available. No, but you've seen them do it. Yeah. And when you do that, like you say, Sean, you're not reaching, and that's where you either burn draft capital and you don't get what you really need, or you're reaching to fill a position, which starts getting dangerous. And Ryan Pace didn't – there was nothing in things he said that made me think, well, they've isolated this need or that need. Kind of as they did last year, you knew they were going to go for a wide receiver. I thought they might take Vic Beasley to get the pass rusher, but right. They had Kevin White far higher. So meaning best player available, and I still think that was a good draft choice. We never saw him, but I think that's how you build through the draft. You do get the best guy, and if you're far and away best guy is an offensive lineman, you might have to rethink that. Only if you decide that if you have two players equal, then you do pick the position you need more. If one's just a little better, if it's not really clear,
well, I think
then
the
position becomes a factor.
Both the tackles in this draft will be gone before pick 10. Tonsil and the kid from
I was thinking, speaking about tackles, not to digress, but how many kind of – what draft was several years ago? Remember the first three were Eric Fisher going to Kansas City and Luke Jokel, and I'm blanking on – oh, these are three can't-miss guys, and I'm looking at the Pro Bowl roster. I didn't see any of them, did you?
Yeah.
You know, the can't miss prospects. Oi. So I don't know. And then Keith Van Horn at 11.
Is Joker still playing?
Who? Joker?
I think, is
he Atlanta?
Is he Atlanta?
I swear, for some reason, I think he is. I'll look it up. Though.
Maybe he's out partying with Johnny Manziel. We just don't hear from him.
So I asked Jared a question on Monday, and I said, usually free agency sets up your draft board.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, for the Bears, it might be reversed this year.
But you know, you got some firepower at 11.
Right. And I'm trying to figure out, because you pretty much can call Kevin White an extra first rounder this year.
Yeah.
Because he's going to hit the field next year, right? Yeah. So now we go back and we look at free agency. And we say the biggest needs are what? Pass rusher, linebacker.
And those get expensive.
Those are expensive. Even though you have
really
the cap
expensive.
Room.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there. They bring Matt and they bring Alshon back.
Okay.
I told you, I don't think Von Miller's getting out of Denver because I don't think Peyton Manning and his number comes back. I just don't.
Good thought. And they can tag. They can tag Miller.
They can tag him, or do a deal with them. One name intrigued me when I looked at the list: Bobby Wagner.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
I don't think you would have to go over the top, and I think that solidifies leadership up the middle at the linebacker position.
Now he's playing. You know, Seattle plays more 4-3, but I think if you're like Bobby Wagner, you can fit him.
Definitely.
He's that Bowman type, Keekly type. I think there's a skill set there that's transferable. So doesn't just have to be a run plugger. And the interesting thing, looking back when I really did some looking at what Vic Fangio and what the really top 3-4 schemes are, the interesting thing to me was that the bigger guys were on the edges. You know, Bowman and Patrick Willis, when I think of that, you know, there's the tandem I want. They're about 240 to 248, I think, the range.
Yeah.
They don't have to be monster big guys because, Sean, you raised Eddie Goldman.
Yeah.
He'd just grab all three offensive linemen and hold them. You guys do what you got to do. The point being, you don't have to be this big, bulky run stuffer. I mean, the biggest linebacker is Purnell. He's out on the edge.
Yeah.
So I think that you can find those guys. Like Bobby Wagner's, I'm going to keep an eye on that one.
It's an interesting list of free agents at pass rush. Justin Houston. He's one of those guys that'll be out there. Von Miller. Ryan Kerrigan, who's underrated. He's been doing pretty well in Washington.
Yeah, just ask Kyle Long.
Yeah. And JPP, we don't know his situation, his last name.
Which one?
When we talk about taking chances, he has a connection to Vic Fangio.
No.
Not Alden Smith.
No.
No. Who?
There's no way the Bears could ever take a chance on that kid.
But who?
It's Alden Smith.
Oh, that was the last one?
Yeah. And you can't take a chance on him. And then the other one is Greg Hardy. You're not taking a chance on him either.
No.
Now, we'll dial back up to Kerrigan and Houston. And, Houston was one of those, when they played Kansas City, that was one of the, this is Charles Leno and Kyle Lundy. They're not too bad.
Right.
Holding up, and then they did pretty well against Khalil Mack.
Right.
You know, so they get back to flipping back to offense a little bit. They got some talent there, but
so you guys wouldn't be mad with a Kerrigan Bobby Wagner combination coming to Chicago?
No. I'm all about getting somebody that's productive. I just, you know, money wise, you guys talked about it. That's, you're always giving out money. It just needed to be reasonable to do some other things.